Hi everyone, I'm Remo Monteleone.
And I'm Narelle Monteleone.
Welcome to the Spiritual Hub podcast series, where we discuss all things spiritual.
And we delve into topics such as psychic development, mediumship, healing, crystals, and so much more.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Spiritual Hub podcast series. Today, Narelle and I will be discussing tools of divination. A very interesting, varied topic. And I guess first I'd like to start with, you know, what is a tool of divination? It is something that's been used since, you know, as far as recorded history goes back, there's always been people that have used various tools in order to gain insight, in order to do readings, assist them with readings, help them get information. Things such as runes and tarot cards. And it's something that, you know, I've encountered a bit of controversy over it. You know, some people say, no, you don't need them because you should be able to just tune in psychically or mediumistically and get your information that way. And then there's other people that will only do a reading if they have a tool at their disposal. And then there's people that do a bit of both. I guess, you know, it's easier to discuss something, you know, from your own experiences. So I'll offer my experiences. I generally don't use anything, but I do sometimes use oracle cards. And I do find that to be quite interesting. I do find it enjoyable. And, you know, although it is something to be taken seriously when you're doing a reading, it's also something that you want to enjoy doing. And I feel the person then you're doing the reading for will feel that, and they also enjoy being there having the reading done. And if people enjoy using tarot for example, well, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, it is about the quality of the information and, you know, the accuracy of the reading, and whether you're using a tool of divination or whether you're not, or a combination of both. Personally, I really don't think that really matters, but for today, let's talk about these interesting tools of divination. You know, the one that I use is oracle cards, and I use that. I actually find a lot of people ask me to draw some cards for them and see what comes out from those cards, see what messages they get from those cards. And, you know, again, I'm not one to do a whole reading using cards, but sometimes towards the end or in the middle of the reading, it just feels right. I'm drawn to do that, and I usually find it's really good validation, because the things that have been coming through and the things that we've been talking about are validated often, or virtually every time, by what is on the cards. So I guess the other important thing to remember is, when you're using a tool of divination, it is about trusting yourself as well, trusting your intuition. So even though you are using something, you know you are holding something physical in your hand, it's certainly about the messages that are coming through that you're getting from that tool, with the assistance of that tool or those tools. So for example, I have some oracle cards here with me now that I'm holding in my hand, and I've just drawn one. Now, this one says Raven Magic, and it says own your power. So usually I wouldn't use the literal words that are written on the card or on the cards. Sometimes yes. And me personally, I rarely use the book. I just go with what I get. So, you know, a statement like own your own power, there's so many ways you can take that, and it would depend on the person that was there having the reading. But, you know, once again, I would feel into that message, into that card, into the picture on the card, and see what I get from that. You know, it may be a case that person has been doubting themselves and needs that reassurance. So that own your own power could be a very literal statement that they need to hear, or it could be something else. But yeah, it is about trusting and using that tool in conjunction with your own intuitive abilities or mediumistic abilities, whatever the situation is. So I guess, you know, some of that controversy is a bit, personally, I think, a bit exaggerated, because at the end of the day, yes, you are holding a tool, but you are also using your own abilities as well. And that's really the only tool that I've personally used on a professional level. Sitting in circle, we've done other things like, you know, reading coffee cups or tea leaves and things like that. And, you know, and we'd usually go around the circle and, you know, we'd have turns. And it is quite a lot of fun. And it is very, very interesting what you can get from using the assistance of a tool of divination. It's very, very interesting. And you know, we all have our little favourite ones, so I'll pass you over to Narelle and she can tell you about some of her favourite tools of divination.
Hi everyone. I have quite a few, so I would have to say that my favourite ones are oracle cards, and I really love using crystals. I love using my crystal pendulum. I've tried in different classes and circles that I've been in, I've done scrying using both crystals and water. So water in a crystal bowl and looking in into the water and receiving messages and seeing images that way. And I think what I really love about these different metaphysical tools or tools of divination is that for me, they're really magical, and they've got so much history, and they're connected to ancient rituals and mystics and seers, and they're the sort of things that were used back in ancient times. So I feel like we all have some sort of connection to some kind of ancient civilization, whether it's Egypt or Atlantis or Lemuria or whatever it is, and we bring these different aspects of ourselves through into different lifetimes, and so there'll always be something that we feel still really connected to. And so for me, I really love the oracle cards, and like I said, there's so many different tools that I do like to work with. And just following up with what Remo was saying in terms of, you know, some people find that it's kind of, you know, you're kind of cheating if you're doing a reading using cards or using a tool rather than just your own psychic abilities or mediumship. But I tend to disagree, because I feel that a lot of people really like the tools. A lot of people love cards, people love tarot, and there's so much depth that you can get in using tarot cards, because not only are you using your intuition, but you're also reading the cards based on their meaning. So it's always really important to trust your intuition above all else, but with tarot there is still a lot of really deep meanings that come with each card and with each suit, with the major arcana versus the minor arcana. So people that do tarot readings can provide like a really in-depth reading, because there's so much to take into consideration. I myself don't do tarot readings at this stage. I really find tarot fascinating, and I'm planning to learn more about it, but I feel like it's a lifelong journey in itself. It's just, there's just so much depth and knowledge in there to be discovered. So I don't do that, but I do use oracle cards. And I just wanted to talk about how each day, just to get a bit of guidance, I usually just draw one or two cards for myself in the morning. And that's a way for me to kind of get a bit of insight about what's going to happen for the day or where I'm at, or to simply just ask one question and get a quick answer that way. So if you're not familiar with oracle cards, it's important to, like any other tool, to cleanse them before you get them and to charge them so that they're working in the best possible way for you. And like anything, they hold energy. So it's important to clear them after you've used them with other people. And that way, because they will hold onto the energy that they've come into contact with. So what I generally do, if I get a new deck, I'll clear it, I'll smudge it, I'll program it, and I'll put my energy onto every card. But in between that, once that's done, I'll only do that probably once when I first get them, and then in between I'll generally just knock on the card 3 times to knock the energy out in between each use. And I'll also store them in a space with crystals around them just to keep the energy really high. And so then I would shuffle the cards and ask a question in my mind. So I'm just doing that now, and I'm just going to ask what everybody needs to know. And then for me, generally a card will fly out, but if not, just choose one that you're drawn to. And the card that's come out says meandering pathway, and it says flow. So, and there's a wizard on there. So it is a very magical card. It's in a forest. And for me, it's all about what I would take from this card is that the road is long. But it's always winding, so there's always more to discover, and the more you can be in the flow and kind of go with the flow rather than resisting anything, the smoother the ride will be. So the more that we resist something, the more challenging it can be, and the more difficult we can make it for ourselves. So if we can just kind of surrender to what is, surrender to where we are at any given moment, we're going to flow more easily with the journey that we're on. So feel this is about releasing any control, any feeling of trying to really, you know, hold on to something that you know might not be for your highest good anymore, or something that served its purpose and now it's time to let it go. And this is all just based on what I'm feeling through the card. So the card's not necessarily giving me all of the information, but it's definitely giving me some of the information based on how the images make me feel, what the words are saying, just the overall feel of the card in general. So that's the way that I would do a one card reading for myself. And it's a really easy way if you're just starting out with spiritual development. I find that the cards are a really good way to start to connect with your intuition more strongly. So that's just a bit of, that's just a tip on how you can start to connect in using the cards. I'll get Remo to jump in now.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned history, because, you know, other than using tools of divination, it's also I find it's a fascinating topic. If you look back at history and all the different types of tools, it's literally endless. And, you know, like in the world that we live in now with the internet and, you know, virtually the entire world being open to travel, we're fortunate to be exposed to all these different tools. But I guess if you look back at their origin, often they're based on, you know, what people had available and the culture where they came from. So certain tools would have been limited to certain countries, and then it wasn't until travel started to happen and trade, and then these tools became more and more known. So we're very, very fortunate now that we have access to them all. You know, things like runes and, you know, even if you look at tribal cultures where they would use bones, casting bones onto the ground to see what they read from them. China, for example, you know, the I Ching book and coins. And, you know, they're also different, they're also varied, they're made from different things, they're called different things, they're used by different people, but essentially they're all for the same purpose. And, you know, the person using them may look different, dress different, have a different title, but essentially, you know, they're doing the same thing. They're using them as a tool to assist them get information. And, you know, even things like fire, reading flames, pyromancy, and water, hydromancy, things like that, I find that really, really fascinating. And it is a very interesting topic if you're drawn to any of those tools, to go off and research and see, you know, how they're used. And, you know, you might find yourself really drawn to one in particular, and that could be something that you could use to assist yourself along your journey if you're thinking about going down this path, or something just to use for yourself, you know, at home. Because, you know, I always say, you know, people have spiritual awakenings and they become more spiritual, more aware of themselves, but doesn't mean you have to go off and do readings for other people. You can do, it's just something that you can use for yourself, for your personal benefit and your family's personal benefit and your immediate environment, because they are all tools of assistance. And, you know, as you start to connect and get a deeper sense of your intuition, if these tools are going to help you do that a little bit, you know, there are benefits there. But yeah, I just find it really, really fascinating. But I'll hand you back to Narelle for the next tool of divination that she's holding right now.
Okay, so I'm spinning my pendulum around here. My pendulum, I've got a few of them, and I find them so helpful. So you can use them just to ask a simple question. If you're looking for a quick answer, a yes, a no, or an unsure, pendulums can be really good for that. The main way that I use my pendulums, though, is in my healing sessions. So I use my pendulum to check clients' chakras to see if they're balanced or if they're imbalanced. And it really, really helps me to just get an idea before I start the session of where they're at, and the chakras that might not be balanced, or what might be going on in their lives. And you can gain so much information just by using a pendulum. So even with myself, I might just use it on my own chakras. It'll spin one way to give me like a yes, as if to say, you know, everything's good. It'll spin the other way to say, to give me a no. And then if it goes forward and backward for me, that's an unsure or a maybe answer. And when you get a pendulum, you'll, like crystals, you'll program it to work with you, to work with your energy. So even though mine goes to the right for a yes, left to the no, a left for a no, and straight ahead, back and forth for a maybe, yours might do something completely different. And that's completely perfect and right for you. So whatever it does is the way that it's going to work for you. We're all individual, and we all work with our tools in an individual way. So like the cards and like any other tool, and as with crystals as well, when you get your pendulum, you'll cleanse it, clear it, charge it, program it, same sort of thing. And we can go into more detail on that probably in another podcast when we talk more about crystals.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're just looking for a quick answer, a quick yes, quick no, pendulums can be really fun. The only thing I will say with pendulums, though, is that, you know, you wouldn't ask a question that's, you know, like a life, you know, you wouldn't base your a life decision based on what your pendulum tells you. So the pendulum can be influenced by our energy. It's working in our energy field. So if we're holding on to the hope of something being a really, really, really strong yes, or a really, really, really strong no, that can influence it, and it might not be an accurate reading. So I always say to everybody that, you know, really, really, really trust your intuition above all else, because we truly do hold all the answers within us. We already know everything that we need to know. Yes, we can get information and knowledge from books, from teachers, from doing courses, and from, you know, learning outside. But everything that we already need, everything that we already have experienced across lifetimes, past, present, and future, parallel lifetimes, we've got it all within our field. We've got it all within us. So it's just a case of accessing it and trusting it. And, you know, when you get a nudge, or you get something quickly popping into your head, really, really, really trusting it. And the tools are just that. They're just a tool. There's something to assist us. They're here to support and to help guide, to teach and to heal and to be part of our growth and transformation. But at the end of the day, we already hold all of the answers within us, and we just need to really embrace that and trust ourselves and know that, you know, we are worthy of having all of this knowledge already within us. And the more that we learn to really love ourselves and trust ourselves and know that we're worthy, then we're more likely to step more into that space of self-trust and self-assurance and really listening more to our intuition. So Remo, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yes, I did actually. As you were talking, the words self-expression popped into my head. And, you know, a lot of psychics and mediums and spiritual teachers, healers, etc. And even people that aren't necessarily in the spiritual field do have their own oracle card decks. And I feel with oracle cards, in publishing, you know, your own deck, writing, creating, coming up with images for it, I feel it is a form of self-expression. And I feel that, you know, self-expression is quite important for spiritual development, for intuitive development. So that's the other thing that I really find fascinating about oracle cards as well. You know, you do buy a deck, but there's been a lot of input into that deck. That person who has written that deck and created that deck has probably drawn from their own experiences, you know, up to that point, readings and interactions and dreams, etc. And they've put all that into that deck, you know, for us to use. And in doing so, they've created, yes, a tool that we can use and they can use, but, you know, in getting that self-expression process going, you know, putting all that down on paper, it is almost like writing a book. You know, technically it's not a book, but you can say in many ways it is the same thing as when someone writes a book, depending what it is. They may be writing about their own experiences up to that point, and it is a way of sort of self-expressing and clearing the path sometimes and getting to the next level. So yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. I really do find that fascinating with oracle cards.
Mm.
And I feel often the person's energy that's created those decks of cards, I feel often that you can sometimes feel that energy in those cards. You can feel a certain type of energy, you know, in those cards. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, you know, the energy is really embedded or ingrained into the cards, and sometimes you'll feel it more so in some decks than in others.
Yeah, true.
And it's funny how you get drawn to certain ones just based on it. It's a real personal preference. And, you know, I've got to say that I feel like I have an oracle card addiction. I've bought so many decks.
I would have to agree with that.
Remo will back me up there. Yeah, because there's so many and there's always new ones coming out. And so along with crystals, they're my two guilty pleasures, I have to say. I'm always buying crystals. I'm always buying cards. And they're all so different. And it's, you know, the more that you work with a deck, you don't need to buy lots of decks of oracle cards. You can just have one deck. And the more you work with it, the more you'll get out of it. And the more that you will learn about yourself and the world as a whole. And whether you're doing readings for other people or whether you're just doing it for your own self-development and your own, you know, spiritual growth, you'll find that, you know, a card that meant one thing one year might mean something completely different to you another year. So, and that's just a representation of how we change and we grow. And, you know, it's good to know that, you know, you can just have one deck and it will grow with you. So Yeah, so it's not like you get one and then you have to get rid of it and get another one, and you can keep it forever and use it over and over again.
Definitely, yes. And, you know, and I think an important thing to remember is what Narelle just mentioned. It is about which ones you are drawn to. So just trust that instinct. If you feel drawn to one when you're shopping for not just a deck of oracle cards, but any other sort of tool of divination you may be thinking of getting, you know, whatever you're drawn to, that's usually where you should go and work with that. And it may not be something you use long term. It could be short term, it could be long term, but often it will lead you to the next tool if there's going to be one.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to jump in quickly too and say, if anyone's interested, the card decks we used today were, the card I drew from was Denise Lynn's The Sacred Forest Oracle. It's a really, really nice deck, and it's all, you know, if you love the forest and like all the kind of mystical, ancient sort of feel, that's a really good one.
Mm. Yeah, and I use Stephen D. Farmer Power Animal Oracle cards. I just drew one card, and I find them to be, find these cards to be very, very to the point on the surface. When, you know, when you look at them, the messages are very direct, but once again, as you start to feel into them, depending on the person you're doing the reading for, there's also a lot of depth in there as well. But I feel they're a very practical sort of energy. Yeah.
Those ones are good if you're someone that's really curious about who your spirit animal guide might
true.
Be.
Very true, yes.
Yeah, it's a good way to get some guidance there. So.
Yes, because there's usually a reason we have a certain spirit animal. You know, they are an aspect of us in some way. So, yeah, they are good cards for that, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, I think that wraps it up for today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you once again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time, everyone. Bye.
Bye.